Do the next right thing to make your marriage sing.
All I ever wanted was to be in love with you. When your eyes met mine, I knew that this was really true. All the flowers of spring could never.
Hello, happy new year, and welcome to The Music of Marriage
with Bob and
Evie. We've been here before, and probably you have too, on Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock on this famous WAKM AM 950 in Franklin with Daryl Williams at the helm.
Welcome back and Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year to you, Daryl.
We're back. We're not doing a rerun. We have good reruns, though, I have to say. If I may say so myself, well, this is the thing you forget, right? So it's good. When we're away, which we were, visiting many family and friends, we enjoyed very much. So we're thankful that they could keep it going. And New Year resolutions are on our minds. It's the 2nd of January today, but I think they kind of keep on rolling throughout the whole year, the resolutions. But we were thinking and talking about this on our road trip back from Texas and talking about why New Year's resolutions don't work. Isn't that encouraging? Daryl, did you make New Year resolutions? Sorry, they're not going to work. No,
well,
I'm kidding.
I'll give you a hint. I was looking in the mirror this morning, and I feel like I have an extra chin. I've gotten rid of for a while, and I thought, oh, it's back. So, and you guys are not helping. So, but yeah.
No, it's your discipline.
But you're right. The resolutions apparently don't work. We do them every year.
I know. Well, we were wondering about that.
Did you vow to keep the one chin last year?
That's what I need to do. Go back to last year.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know what Oscar Wilde said, right? He said, New Year's resolutions are just futile attempts to interfere with scientific law. And I tend to agree with him.
Well, that's real encouraging. We start the new year telling ourselves that New Year's resolutions don't work. But what does work? And we talk about marriage here at the Music of Marriage and relationships. Many of the principles apply to across the board. And so we started digging into what is it that makes us feel like somehow, because it's a new year, you know, we have this false illusion that we are invincible and we can accomplish anything we set our mind to, you know, just do it, you know, Nike, just wear that swoosh and you'll have the power. Right, Bob?
Yes.
Right. But there are actually other approaches that will work in helping things get better.
Well, and this is not to put down, you know, just everyday resolutions like, you know, losing weight, you know, going on a diet, exercise, more exercise.
Being a nicer person.
Get more reading done and all that good stuff.
Whatever it is. Yeah, it's not to put down because obviously we would be inhuman if we just didn't care about any of that. And we should have self-motivation. That's natural. God made us that way, that with the ability to choose and to discipline ourselves. So
we made it actually a resolution last year to get out of debt by the end of the year, and we actually accomplished that. So
well, that was God's goodness to us. What I mean? Because we didn't see, well, we're going to play a first song, I don't know the way from here. We couldn't see how we could do it. But we thought if we asked God, which I think is a thing that can help us with our resolutions in life, is to believe the impossible and ask for the impossible. I mean, within reason. You know, but
within reason.
Does that,
the impossible
does that
make is
sense?
Never in within reason.
Does that make sense?
But no, if you know,
we don't ask big enough. You know, we think, well, there's no way.
You tend to hit what you shoot for, so
right.
You know, if you're shooting for impossible, then you just may hit it, you know. And even if you come a little short, at least that was your goal.
Well, we often say that verse, with God all things are possible. So,
right.
You know, it's not impossible. Our problem is we look at our circumstances and we say, oh, there's no way I'll get out of debt. There's no way I'll get a home. I have no down payment. My husband doesn't earn enough money. This, that, the other thing. You know, there's no way we'll get a home, let alone a nice home that we actually like. And God proves himself to be, like, mind-blowingly generous. Mm-hmm. If we are mind-blowingly faith-filled for something. But you have to blow everything else out of your mind that says, God can't do this. Because, you know, he knows our circumstances. He likes to give us the desires of our heart. But other things in our life also need to come in alignment, and we have to patiently wait while we hope with expectation, which was what the Christmas story was about. You know, come thou long expected Jesus. How many years did people, oh, is this the Messiah? Is this the one we've been waiting for? And so sometimes, most of the time, you do have to wait in life for those desires. But I think that I've found asking for what other people say it's impossible, I think to myself, yeah, right, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. And I pray about it, and lo and behold, it happens. It's not because I'm magic and every prayer I pray for is answered mm-hmm. exactly, but I have seen that happen so much that it gives me a lot of enthusiasm to encourage other people to ask in faith.
And that's the key, that your faith is backed up by actions. And because you believe so strongly, and that enthusiasm carries through to how you plan every day and what you do, you know. So that's key. It's always a partnership thing. It's not just, you know, we pray and therefore things happen. That's a big part of it. But we pray, but we also either do or don't do, and each approach will yield a determined result.
But we have this illusion, really false illusion, that we can accomplish anything we set our mind to, and that's where we have to realize that we are finite. You know, we don't have that power that God has, and that anything that we want to accomplish. What we're going to talk about is, you know, the three things that will work. We have to change who we are, because unless we actually improve our character traits and, you know, have spiritual growth first, which will help improve our character, and then relational growth, then the things that we want to change and be and do are going to have a hard time happening. Another thing that I think I've said a number of times is that God promises to give wisdom. So if you can't see your way out of the hole that you're in your marriage, in your finances, whatever it is, you know, ask God, just ask him for wisdom. Tell him to show you how to think and what to do. And step by step, you'll see how he'll help you navigate that, so you can be encouraged.
Yeah. And even though we're talking, this particular show, we're talking about general principles behind personal change and relational change, and it always has to start with spiritual change, and then it has to move on to character change, and then relational change. Not that they're exactly in that order, but all of those three things must be moving ahead simultaneously. We call it moving on different tracks, but at the same time, all going in the same direction. So things in your life that tend to put a strain on your relationship, especially the marriage relationship, should be looked at. Aside from things like spiritual growth, character growth, relational growth, working on relational dynamics that make relationship more exciting, more unified. And so backtracking, if we look at something like, say, I heard, years ago, that financial problems are one of the biggest causes of divorce. And I don't know if that's still the same today, but I do know that it does cause an incredible strain on relationships. It causes a lot of arguments, etc. And I think any of you who are in that situation know what I'm talking about. And we have been in that situation in the past, and that's exactly what happens. It causes this strain, this kind of, one person's pulling one way, the other person's pulling the other way. And so the ability to bury your desire for more things or for putting things on credit rather than using cash, for instance, putting things on credit from a spiritual standpoint is only good if you have the cash to back it up. Or if you know that cash is coming in. But if it's not, then it becomes an issue of presumption. You're presuming that you'll be able to pay this back. But often that's not the case. And credit card companies know this, and that's how they get you in this perpetual cycle. And the cycle is a spiral downward until you're buried. So that causes an incredible strain on a marriage. So, yeah, that kind of thing is highly recommended for any type of a growth, spiritual growth, because it affects your spiritual life and it affects your character. And decisions that you actually make to, say, get out of debt are character building and spiritually in alignment with God's wisdom and relationally in alignment with what makes for peace in the home.
So we talked about finances a little bit with New Year resolutions as far as one aspect that I'm sure everyone thinks about. Okay, now that Christmas has passed and everything's settling, what is reality and how we're going to deal with that reality? But the things that we were going to focus on were our character coming out of, which is a result of our spiritual health and well-being. There's always a lot of emphasis on physical health and well-being at the beginning of a year, but is there emphasis on our spiritual health and well-being? Because everything flows from that, really, where we stand, where are we positioned in that way. So we were looking at 2 Peter Chapter 1, Bob was saying, I think that would have a lot to enlighten us and encourage us as we think about improving in these areas of spiritual growth, character growth, and then relational growth, improvement.
And the Bible does say that, in fact, I forget where the verse is, but it says that physical training is of some importance, but godliness through discipline is of greater importance. So there, that was in the New Testament, that was the Apostle Paul, who was not putting down physical fitness and things like that we all strive for goals on, but saying that while that has its place, it shouldn't have a place where it becomes an idol in our life and the only focus in our life, or a greater focus than spiritual growth, which comes through discipline, and that godliness comes through discipline. So it's a way of training. spiritual training. And it affects, I mean, we can't, we've often said in the past that, that marriage is an extension of the Christian life, and so is all of our relationships. Everything we do is an extension of what you believe and how you act on those beliefs. So there's no segmented areas of life or departmentalized areas that are you know, disconnected with all the other areas. So we never talk about marriage just in and of itself as if it's something out there. But it's greatly related to all these things we're talking about. And spiritual growth is a must for a better year in your marriage and your relationships. And there's a verse, a number of verses here in 2 Peter, a whole segment of verses that we're going to focus on throughout the rest of this show. And the first part of it says, from 2 Peter 1, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So that's the first, that's verses 3 and 4, that's the first part of this section. And so in acknowledging that what God has already done for you in Christ, which is how you start your Christian life, is the first step. And then he basically gave us the keys of the kingdom, you know, in this sense. But he's not just handing us keys or a badge or gold star. He's handing us his word, which contains all that we need to know for life and godliness. And these keys to the kingdom are confirmed by his precious and very great promises. Scriptures don't just tell us what to do and what not to do. The scriptures promise us God's assistance by the power of the Holy Spirit to become the kind of person he requires us to become. And
what kind of person do we want to become this year? Do we care? Maybe we don't care. But I think most people do actually care because we see the results. You reap what you sow, right? If you oversleep all the time and you get to work late, you might lose your job. Darn, that was a good paying job. Got a new job. Okay, I'm going to be on time this time. How am I going to get up on time? Maybe I shouldn't stay up so late watching stuff on TV or on the internet. If I get to bed early enough, I'll wake up, I'll be fresh, I can get to that job, do a better job, you know, than anybody else in the place. Well, I mean, that's not. Just do the best job you can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then your boss will say, wow, that's great, let me give you more pay or something. And that, so we can and we should make those kind of decisions.
Yeah,
but those are decisions that are grappling with our soul, you know, our soul, who we are inside, how we think, what drives us, what makes us think, how can we get the wheels, all four wheels on the track, you know? And I often ask God to help me do that because I don't, you know, we all have, you know, like those trains you get. Our grandson got what he calls a mechanic train for Christmas. He got a mechanic train. So, all the wheel, you know, it's mechanical. It runs electronic, you know, and we know because we had boys and Bob made the track for them and all that. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden a wheel goes off the track. It's like, oh, no. And that's how. That's why at the beginning of a year, we want to try to resolve to have those things, you know, running more smoothly in our life and relationally. But this being given the keys to the kingdom spiritually is key. Didn't mean to make a pun there, but it kind of is. Keys to the kingdom, having the keys to the kingdom are key to opening and unlocking all of the potential that we each have. Mm-hmm. Because we have as much potential as we will let God give us, basically. I just made that up. But I think that's a good, you know, we do. We have as much potential mm-hmm. as we will allow God to give us. So where we're closed off to, well, yeah, but then I'd have to not do that. You mean I really have to try to, you know, not yell at my wife, but like speak to her, respect, treat her with dignity? Oh, okay, I can work on that. Or, nah, I don't feel like it. But each of us has the ability. And like we read here in Peter, 2 Peter 1, it says, God has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. That's one verse out of a big fat Bible verse full of verses. And that one verse you could use for the rest of your life if you didn't know any others, pretty much. Because yeah. It is through God's very great and precious promises that we are, he gives us the keys to the kingdom. He lets us participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world, which is ruled by evil desires. One of the ways that we know we're a child of God, well, when you're a child of God, you know, you give your kid the car keys. You don't give the neighbor kid the keys to your car. You give your own child your car keys, right? And you instruct them how to drive. And then you say, okay, here you go. You have the potential to drive across country if you obey the rules, right? So we have the potential to do many, many things if we will listen to what God tells us and take the keys he gives us and not rely on our own resolutions.
And often you learn how to drive long before your ability to drive just by watching how your father drives.
Right. So we take our eyes. There was that song by Gary Chapman, My Father's Eyes, that Amy Grant did. But anyway, yeah, being a person who says, you know, God, I want your keys. I want the keys to the kingdom. You know, you've offered them to me with promises. I'm ready to give that a try, give that a spin. And we've been going for a while now in our first segment, so maybe we should break and play this song called I Don't Know the Way From Here, but, you know, God is the one who makes it clear, and we trust in him for
this
that.
This is a song that Evelyn wrote, and we did a demo of it, about maybe 10 years ago or so. We never actually did a final recording, but we're going to play it for you anyway.
So the idea is, we don't know the way from here. This was after we, I don't want to say lost our house, because we didn't lose it in a bad way. There was a big kind of crash, and our healthcare business went down the tubes. So we were kind of up a creek without a boat or paddle, so to speak. And so we've kind of been there, done that, where, you know, you're lunging for something shiny on the asphalt, thinking maybe it's a dime or a quarter to help you buy a can of tomato paste for dinner. So we know what that's like. And through those times, you know, God was faithful and showed us the way. And that was, I guess, the beginning of that time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know the way from here, and the consequence could be severe. Oh, but I look to you, and I trust you make the way clear. I don't know the way from here, when my eyes are off you I fear. Oh, but I look to you, and I trust you. Exactly where my life will go. There's no way I could tell. work out well. There is no way I could see the path you have in front of me. But I look to you and trust in all you do. I don't know the way from here. With each step all alone, are you near? Oh, but I look to you and trust you make the way clear. I don't know the way from here. Does my prayer even reach your ear? But I look to you, I trust you make the way clear. There is no way I could know exactly where my life will go. You'd think with the clouds there would be some rain, and after the rain there would be some gain. But my circumstance weighs like a ball and chain, and all I can do is call out your name. I don't know the way from here. My vision is blurred by a tear. Oh, but I look to you, and I trust you make the way clear. Oh, I don't know the way from here, and the days they drag on like years. And I look to you, and I trust you make the way clear. There is no way I could know exactly where my life will go. There's no way I could tell that it all will work out well. And there is no way I could see the path you have in front of me. And I trust you make the way clear. Oh, yes, I trust in you, my sweet Jesus. I trust in you.
We're back with the Music and Marriage, talking about New Year's resolutions. Well, we're talking about a little bit more than that. We're talking about the things that, three different things that we need to change and get more into our lives, and that is spiritual growth, character growth, and relational growth. And we've been talking about spiritual growth.
Because you can't have marriage, and you can't fulfill your New Year resolutions unless you position yourselves to get the power to do it, you know, mm-hmm. the power from outside yourself, actually, because we all find out that after a while some circumstances come and discourage us or defeat us. There's maybe a few people who everyone can see, like Zig Ziglar or whoever is at the top of the heap, so to speak. But even they often crash and burn. So we all have the potential to go as far, I think, as we will let that vehicle of God's great and precious promises take us. He gives us the keys, right, to go. And I do believe we go as far as we allow him to empower us. But then, you know, we have to follow the rules and we have to seek out what his wisdom is internally. And when we take those baby steps, one step at a time, and that was that song, I Don't Know the Way From Here. With each step, all alone, are you near? Like, with each step, I feel totally alone. You take one step at a time. You hardly know what foot to put in front of each other, of the neck, which step to take next. Mm-hmm. And you feel alone, and you say, are you even near, Lord? Or maybe you don't feel like your spouse is near, or your friends, or your life is, you know, whatever. But as the song said, you know, we put our trust in him, and he makes the way clear, and it boils down to that, really. So that's our hope, not, oh, look at me, I'm going to do it because I am me, you know, me, mm-hmm. the great me. And I don't care how many followers somebody has or how popular they are, we all are the same internally. And that humility of recognizing that and asking for God's help is going to be key to the kind of good things that we want to see happen.
Yes. And this is why Christianity is so much about relationship and not about religion, because it starts with being who you are in Christ, and as a married couple, who you are together in Christ. And so it starts with being rather than doing. It starts with your identity and living out of that identity, because that's, you're a new creation. Talk about new year. You know, when we're...
A new you.
When we're saved by grace, we become a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. That's what the Bible says. And so we're not to look at each other as we were before we became a new creation. We're to look at each other, view each other from the standpoint of, you're a new creation. You know, Christ is in you, dear wife, dear husband. And I know that we have things to work on, but you got a good start, because look who's inside you. And so that gives us an incredible amount of hope. And we can move on from there and know the way from here.
Well, that's right. The next songs need a vision, so we've got to morph our talk here toward.
Yes.
So now we need to know the way. Now we need a vision, next song. But we're not ready for the song yet. I'm going to say a few things first.
Yes. But so let's move on to character growth, because that's a must for a better year in your marriage and relationships. And character growth happens when we build on something that is already there. And we just mentioned what is already there. We always build on a foundation, which in this case is our faith in Christ.
And you can put your faith in Christ anytime, anywhere. I mean, you could be driving a beer delivery truck right now. You know, it doesn't really matter. God isn't limited by space or time. He exists outside of time, so he's got all the time in the world, which is kind of, doesn't make sense to say in a way, but he, you know, somebody told me recently, because I said, how can he hear everybody's prayers at the same time? Like, when you pray, you feel like your whole life revolves around your prayer and your situation. We watched It's a Wonderful Life over Christmas with our grandkids. And, you know, Jimmy Stewart, what a wonderful character. His despair when the rich guy in town trying to buy up all the real estate and have control of it all so that the average person couldn't afford anything anymore. That greedy man was always... well, actually, he wound up stealing a whole lot of money by an accident that happened with Jimmy Stewart's helper guy, his uncle. And so that just was going to bankrupt Bailey Bank and Loan or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So the average person was going to get cut out, and all the rich guys were going to scoop up everything for themselves, which is actually happening today if our eyes are open and we're awake to what's going on. It's not a good situation. Yeah. But because of the despair of Jimmy Stewart, he was going to jump off a bridge, and God intervened with an angel and so forth. But the power of that prayer when he was in that bar, "Oh God, if you exist, something like that, help me." Mm-hmm. And then his little girl, you know, it was Christmas Eve.
He said, "Show me the way."
Show me the way. Mm-hmm. He said, "Show me the way." So I don't know the way from here. And meanwhile, at home, "God, please help Daddy." And his wife saying, "Children, pray for Daddy. Something's wrong." You know, because he came home very upset because he knew that the whole thing that he had inherited from his father and given up his honeymoon and his dreams of traveling the world to help your average person afford a house were going to be mowed down by this rich, greedy guy. But the prayers, you know, there's power in prayer, in each person's prayer. How can God hear each person's prayer? And what feels so important to me is my thing with God. What's important to you in your mind is your thing with God and whoever. Mm-hmm. Each of us has our own hotline to heaven, so to speak. It's just a matter of using it. And God, because he's outside of time, he has all the time, and he can hear each of our prayers and concerns and be tuned mm-hmm. in with us. So you don't have to feel alone or afraid that things aren't going to work out or hopeless.
And he did answer Jimmy Stewart's prayer and turn things around for his life and for the community. And it's interesting you brought up him because from the very beginning, he was a good person, just like good at the core, to the core. And moving along in this passage at 1 Peter, it's interesting that it says, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness." But it's interesting that the first thing we add to faith is goodness, not righteousness. And that's because we're already righteous in Christ through faith, so we don't have a righteousness of our own in that sense, which is why there's no place for boasting about how righteous we are. Or looking
at all the good things that we've done that we deserve.
Yeah, or looking down on others who we think are less righteous than us. None of us are righteous. It's sufficient that we grow in the knowledge of our Redeemer and Lord and not look at ourselves as the one who is all-knowing and all righteous. And Bert Kaufman said an interesting thing about that. He's a Bible commentator, and he said, "The righteousness which alone can save is available to people in Christ. The great device of God's redemption plan being not that of transferring righteousness into sinners, but that of transferring sinners into Christ, where the righteousness is." So you see, it's a very subtle difference, but it's a huge difference. This section here says that once we have faith and add goodness to it, then we have to add self-control, perseverance, and godliness.
May I cut in?
Yes, yes.
Will I mess up your train of thought too much?
No, I'm good.
I never do that. Anyway, when you say, you know, have faith, trust, believe in God, you know, things can get better for you. You'll be guided on the way of what you're supposed to do in all these situations. But you're supposed to add to your faith goodness, knowledge. So learn. That means we have to learn. That means we have to get our heads out of social media where we watch these ridiculous Instagram posts that we will probably post them. I better not say that. Ridiculous.
Reels.
Real, whatever they are. We have all these toys. Yeah. It's like, we're adults and we're sitting here like looking at these things endlessly, like all from billions of people in the world posting them. How is that adding to our knowledge? Well, it can give us an idea of where our culture's at and where the world's at, and we can get some knowledge, but we have to be careful, where are we getting our knowledge from? Mm-hmm. And then self-control, which means controlling how we spend our time. Are we spending time getting knowledge? And what is, are we considering the source of our knowledge? I had like this pull in me. Do I pick up my phone or do I pick up that Bible by my granddaughter's? We were staying with our grandkids over Christmas, and she has this nice little leather Bible that doesn't weigh 5 pounds right there. So I thought maybe I'll pick up that instead of read it off my phone. And I'll actually open the physical Bible and let my eyes roam around. And oh, that's right, Deuteronomy comes before that. Oh, that's right. Well, this is where the books of the Bible are. Expand my knowledge. So I had to resist the urge to pick up my phone and scroll through the usual babble and say, no, I'm going to say first, you know, I'm going to have the self-control to get the knowledge I need, and that will empower me for my day. And one little point about a New Year's resolution, and that has to do with the inner, I-N-N-E-R, net, often called the internet, but it's spelled wrong. It's the I-N-N-E-R, net, not the I-N-T, because it traps us, the internet. And in a sermon on Sunday, the last day of the year, I heard that 80% of internet traffic, if you're following, you know, how marketing people do, where are the people go? Oh, do they go here? Okay, we'll put this product there. Are they, do they like this? What do they like? 80% of the internet, can you guess where the traffic goes? 80%. And this confirms my strong belief that the internet is an inner net, because 80% of traffic goes to, you guessed it, pornography. So isn't it useful to us to have the inner net? I mean, what are we doing? What are we learning? Are we learning how to, you know, fix our broken bandsaw? Learning how to play guitar, learning how to knit, listening to music, listening to movies, buying things on Amazon and shopping. But 80% of the use of the internet is pornography. Now that puts us as people in a very bad light. And we need to change that. And if you're caught in that net, whether it's even not pornography per se, but perhaps it's the other garbage on the internet that can waste your time and diminish your character so that your relationships are seriously affected. Because when you subtract from your marriage the time that you spend over here on the internet, whatever it is you're doing, and it might be wholesome, more wholesome than pornography, but what does that say about us as a culture? I mean, we're on the edge of like self imploding, and we are. I think it's evident spiritually, and we need to be really get our brains, you know, get our wits about us and say, hold on, in this new year, can we spend more time three-dimensionally and put the phone away so that when we're together, that's not there? We need to rebuild our marriages and our relationships and our country, our culture.
And especially true if you're one of those 80%, because, you know, you don't need pornography, and certainly that's where self-control comes in, and that's where perseverance and godliness comes in. All those things need to be exercised, but also if you're into pornography or whatever form of fantasy you indulge in, you are subtracting from your marriage relationship, you're subtracting passion and love and focus on the person that you love the most, who now you're putting in second place behind an idol. So it's really, really crucial that you say, I'm going to submit to God now and say, put the idols away, put the images away, put the words away, and control myself and focus on the things I should be focusing on, adding all of these things, building on my spiritual foundation, not on the foundation of earthly things that are crumbling under your feet and crumbling under your marriage.
We have to connect with each other to build anything. The Tower of Babel in the Bible was abandoned. They were building a tower. They were going to be greater. Reach to the heavens, you know. They were like, I would compare them to the globalist people who think they're going to control everything using the internet and listening in and surveilling and monitoring. And I mean, our son was asking us, what kind of truck can I buy that doesn't like decide that it's going to brake for me or decide that it's going to turn the high beams on for me when I don't think I should have, and I almost got in an accident because of it. So we, in the new year, I hope that we'll really think about how we need to connect with each other in reality and stay away from and be very keen on what these dangers are and abandon them and live the real three-dimensional relational life with each other and with God who lives through us by his Holy Spirit and these promises he gives us when we take those keys that he's given to us.
And now we have a song. I wrote this song in the year 2000, right at the turn of the century. And I was preoccupied by all the things that we're talking about right now. And I said to myself, I need a vision of God's love. I need a vision. And so that turned out to be the song called Need a Vision, which you can download from our website.
Which is themusicofmarriage.com, by the way. If
yes.
You go to themusicofmarriage.com, these songs are there. And our book, How to Make Your Marriage Sing.
Yeah.
Vision of God.
vision of God's love. Need a vision, vision of love. Need a vision of God's love. Need a vision of God's love. We need a vision of God's love.
Welcome back to the Music of Marriage, and we hope you've enjoyed and been encouraged by the spiritual character and relational growth aspects of the New Year forward resolutions that we can make with the backing of our Creator. You can go to our website, and we have a book called How to Make Your Marriage Sing, and we have these songs, some of the songs we're about to play, one called Reflections. And though we're reflecting back, and if you reflect back, and you reflect on God's words and what He's given for thousands of years to us and preserved, though man has tried to destroy it, all the reflecting can be pulled together and inspire you to move forward with the hope and the faith and the encouragement and the power that God will give us to navigate each step of the way, to have that vision that we just heard, Need a Vision, and then this song we wrote, Bob wrote, I guess?
Yeah, called Reflections.
Reflections. So just, and count your blessings, you know, that's that white Christmas movie that we also watched over Christmas, you know, Count Your Blessings with Bing Crosby. That also empowers you to move forward. So have a great new year and enjoy this song, Reflections.
Looking back in time through the memories we find, reflecting on the pleasure of our years. We raised a family that shaped our destiny. It's been good to share the laughter and sun is sinking low in the Colorado snow, blowing through the aspens one more time. We will travel where the cool blue mountain air knows of our old baby at the fine. Terms that never end, you've been a faithful friend, and I'm thankful we can hold our heads up high. The hills of Tennessee surrounding you and me smile at our passing one more time. Call your name. Ooh. The golden oaks stand tall in the Pennsylvania fall, while the birches flame their feelings one more time. We will travel on the wall.